The LAPD has always been a racist and brutal police department. In the late 70s, there was a rash of episodes of black and brown men in particular being murdered by the police when they would stop them for questionable traffic violations and end up putting people in chokeholds, and the people would die. And the police chief, Daryl Gates, you know, a notorious racist, would, you know, made the statement that, well, perhaps the veins in black people's necks don't open up as fast as they do in normal people. He actually said this. You know, so there's the murder and the brutalization of black people and the very, very flippant attitude, a not caring attitude and not assuming any responsibility, right? So that's what's happening with LAPD. The tensions that also were occurring at that time were between the Korean community, who purchased numerous liquor stores, convenience stores, etc., in the depressed areas of South Los Angeles. So you had, you know, these Korean immigrants who were opening up stores in predominantly black neighborhoods. There were valid, legitimate cultural differences, but because of the situation of such anti-blackness that was happening in the society in general, you know, new immigrants are introduced to that. It's almost like a rite of passage, right? So you had complaints from black people that, well, the store owners, they wouldn't put the money in our hand, they wouldn't look us in the eye, and, you know, there were actual concerns about shoplifting. So, you know, there have been the parodies where you would see Korean store owners or actors portraying Korean store owners following black people around in the stores, you know, telling them to hurry up and buy, etc. That has been parodied in a few Hollywood movies, right? Those were actual occurrences that were continuously pressing upon the black community. Prior to the murder of LaTosha Harlins, there had been a couple of incidents where Korean store merchants, liquor store owners, had shot individuals who they thought were going to rob them, but the security tapes mysteriously disappeared or were erased. In one particular incident, some young men had been standing outside waiting on a bus. A car drove by, and what the young men thought was an attempted drive-by, they ran into a liquor store seeking safety and shelter. The Korean store owners thought they were coming in to rob them and ended up shooting the young men. So these are the kinds of things that are happening during this time period. And then we have the LaTosha Harlins murder. At the time of LaTosha's murder, I did not know that 15-year-old LaTosha Harlins, the security camera videotape from the store, I did not know that it existed at the time of LaTosha's murder. I viewed it later, and it was somewhat horrifying to me. 15-year-old LaTosha Harlins goes into the Empire Liquor Store, 91st and Figueroa, to buy a bottle of orange juice. She comes in, puts the orange juice in her backpack, has $2 in her hand to pay for it, goes up to the counter. The store owner, Soon Jadu, accuses her of shoplifting. Now, what the videotape showed is that the store owner, Soon Jadu, grabbed LaTosha Harlins and would not let her go. And you can see on the videotape, LaTosha's looking at the woman, obviously saying to her, "What are you doing? Let go of me." Soon Jadu refuses to let go of her, and that's when LaTosha Harlins strikes her in an attempt to get away. Soon Jadu falls behind the counter, right? She comes back with a gun, and LaTosha steps back like, "My God, what are you doing? Why do you have a gun?" And you can also see in the videotape where LaTosha attempts to show her the money and the orange juice. Soon Jadu slaps the orange juice out of her hand. LaTosha stands at the counter, begins to walk away, and that's when the gun goes off, right? Shooting her in the back of the head. She literally just drops onto the floor. And so the missing piece for me was I did not know that Soon Jadu had grabbed LaTosha Harlins. So the issue of the bodily integrity of black people has always been an issue. You know, most recently within the last couple of months, there was a video went viral on social media showing store owners in, I believe, North Carolina, a beauty shop owner. These were Asian. I don't know if they were Korean, but they accused a woman of shoplifting, and the man is kicking her and choking her and got her in a headlock. You know, somebody sent out a memo saying that it's okay to physically treat black people in this way because you're a store owner. I don't know who sent that memo out, but that memo is incorrect. It is not okay to treat black people in this manner. And so this occurred, this murder of Latasha Harlins occurred during the same time as Rodney King was almost killed by the LAPD. The trial of Sunjaidu, she's found guilty. The jury recommended prison, but the judge disavowed that, gave her community service and a fine. So, you know, all of this is impacting the black community. And then finally, the four officers are acquitted of the attempted murder of Rodney King. And on that particular day, the LAPD had been harassing some quote-unquote gang members, members of the A-Tray gangster, a Crip gang, in the area of Florence and Normandy. And for whatever reason, I don't think that they had those members at the time that they were confronting the police, knew about the verdict, but whatever it was, because of the tension, which you could cut like a knife, they decided that they were not going to accept the treatment of the police because they were gang members. And then at some point, they found out about the verdict. And that's why people talk about Florence and Normandy being the flashpoint. The police were already in that area harassing people. People were tired, decided that they weren't going to take it. Then they heard that the verdict, that those four officers had been acquitted. And as they say, the rest is history.
Now, often we hear the word riot being used to basically disparage these otherwise peaceful movements. Was the LA riots something that started out peaceful, or was this a riot that came out of anger due to being mistreated by the police?
Well, you know, 25 years later, there are those who call it a riot, and there are those of us who call it a rebellion or an uprising. So, you know, we're going to continue to have that difference of opinion. Was it a rebellion? Was it an uprising, or was it a riot? People were angry. People were disappointed. People were dejected, and they took out their frustrations. They took them out on police cars. They took them out on people in the area. Even Reginald Denny, you know, people talk about this white truck driver who was dragged from his truck at the intersection, that very same intersection, Florence and Normandy, and beaten on camera. What they don't talk about is when you talk to people in that neighborhood, they'll tell you that he had gone through the neighborhood taunting people, cursing at them. So when his truck got stuck, you know, that's what happened. You know, the many Korean stores were attacked, some actually in black neighborhoods and some as far north of South Los Angeles in the area known as Koreatown. That was part of that overall frustration of, you know, quote-unquote, even though they're another people of color, these are immigrants, these are quote-unquote foreigners in our community abusing us, disrespecting us, as well as the police. And so when people say, was it a riot, or were people rebelling against conditions? I saw one photograph. You know, everybody was not taking large screen TVs. I saw one photograph of a man pushing a cart past a burning building. If you zoom in on the cart, it's a bunch of Huggies, a bunch of diapers. So, you know, are you tearing up your own neighborhood, or are you in a desperate act sending a message to people who do not invest in your neighborhood, do not live in your neighborhood, do not respect you, and to a certain extent, economically exploit you? Are you sending a message to them? Or are you just tearing up your own community? You know, those questions are still being asked 25 years later, and they will continue to be asked. People are going to still, mainly in the media, are going to call it a riot. The people on the ground are going to call it a rebellion or an uprising.
You've visited Los Angeles since then. Do you see any changes in the way that the Los Angeles Police Department carries itself, or is it still continuing these issues that led to the rebellion in the first place?
I've seen some cosmetic changes, but I think overall, the role of policing, the role of the LAPD has not changed. I returned to Los Angeles in 1999, just as the Rampart scandal was breaking loose. You know, I've been personally stopped by police, and they have been some of the most courteous and respectful individuals that I have personally encountered. But I also know that, you know, last year, LAPD was the most murderous police force in the country. You know, we still don't know what has happened to Redell Jones and to Wakesha Wilson. You know, the treatment of Charlie Kunang, Brother Africa, down in the Skid Row area, Brother Brandon, even though that was out in Venice, it's still part of LAPD. You know, people are still being brutalized. People are still being murdered by the LAPD. And many of it is under very questionable circumstances, and the police are not being held accountable for it. So on the one hand, while they're, you know, polite and will smile at you and hand you their business card, you still run the risk of being murdered.
The Black Lives Matter movement is underway, doesn't show any signs of stopping, and Rodney King shows that police brutality has been a thing for a long time. Do you think there's anything that not only Black Lives Matter movements can learn from the LA rebellion, but just, you know, the population in general, what can we learn?
Well, you know, well, we're talking about the anniversary of the LA rebellion and, you know, what we call the attempted murder of Rodney King. But just this past weekend, a 15-year-old child was murdered in the Dallas, Texas area by a police officer using a rifle to fire into a vehicle. You know, this is a high-powered military weapon, and you're firing into a car of children who are leaving a party. If we have learned anything, you know, even when you look at the video of Rodney King being attacked, the word brutality is no longer applicable here. It's terrorism. It's police terrorism. It is an attempt using force to make a population comply, to make a population act in a desired manner. And you will see that that is pretty much the definition of terrorism. The police are the frontline soldiers in this war on terror, of this war of terror against the Black community. Digital media, cell phones, etc. The acts of police terrorism are not happening more frequently. They've always happened. A wider audience is now available to see it. You know, back in 1992, people were saying, what happened to Rodney King happens all the time. But if that man had not videotaped it, right, we were hopeful that those police officers would be convicted. Why? Because now we've got video proof. That man whose name escapes me at the moment, he was horrified and started videotaping. He started filming what he saw. Most people don't get to see it. And even though he had video proof, those officers walked. And we come 25 years later, many officers are still walking with the video digital proof. So it's not brutality. You know, brutality suggests that police are doing their job and something goes awry. It is the police's job to terrorize us. It happens too frequently. It's too systemic. It is not a fluke. It is part and parcel of what they do. So we need to understand that 25 years later, and we also need to understand that it is unnecessary and that we're not going to have it. That's one of the beauties of the Black Lives Matter movement. That's one of the beauties of Ferguson, Missouri. Those young people said, we're tired of it, and we are not leaving the streets until it stops. We're going to confront you at your doorstep. We're going to confront you in the streets. Petitions are nice, but we're going to confront you so that everyone sees we're not having this anymore.